You know that feeling when you're halfway through a cross country and you realize you never checked the NOTAMs for your destination? That sinking moment where you wonder what else you missed? I'm Pattern on Traffic Pattern, right here on Radio Hangar. And today we are going to talk about the regulation that was designed to prevent exactly that feeling. Federal Aviation Regulation 91.103, Pre-Flight Action. It is one of the shortest regulations in the book, and it might also be the most powerful one the FAA ever wrote. Here's what it says, and I'm going to paraphrase it in plain language. Each pilot in command shall, before beginning a flight, become familiar with all available information concerning that flight. That is the opening line, all available information. Think about how broad that is. The FAA did not say check the weather. They did not say review your charts, they said all available information. That is an enormous net, and it is cast on purpose. Now, before we dig into what that actually means for you on a Tuesday morning when you want to go fly, let me give a shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that? Private pilot instrument commercial? They have got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. aviationsoul.com. All right, back to 91.103. Let's walk through this together, because there are actually two parts to this regulation, and most pilots only remember the first one. The first part is that general statement. Become familiar with all available information concerning that flight. The FAA leaves it deliberately vague for local flights. If you're doing pattern work at your home airport on a clear day, they are not expecting you to pull out every chart supplement in the region, but they are expecting you to know the weather, the NOTAMs, the runway conditions, and the status of your airplane. Reasonable information for a reasonable flight. The second part is where it gets specific, and this is the part a lot of students gloss over. For any flight not in the vicinity of an airport, and for any instrument flight rule flight, you have a specific checklist baked right into the regulation. The regulation says you must check weather reports and forecasts, fuel requirements, alternatives available if the planned flight cannot be completed, and any known traffic delays of which the pilot in command has been advised by air traffic control, which is a fancy way of saying ATC flow restrictions. Now here is something I wish someone told me when I was training. That phrase "not in the vicinity of an airport" is doing a lot of heavy lifting. The moment you leave the traffic pattern and head somewhere, even 20 miles away for a quick burger at the next field over, you have just triggered the full requirement. Weather reports and forecasts, fuel requirements, alternatives, all of it. Let me give you a scenario. Say you're planning a flight from your home field to an airport about 60 nautical miles away. Beautiful day. You have flown there a dozen times. You jump in, start up, and go. What did you miss? Well, did you check the NOTAMs? Maybe that airport closed its only runway for construction yesterday. Did you look at the winds aloft? Maybe there is a 30-knot headwind at your altitude that turns a 40-minute flight into a fuel question. Did you glance at the terminal area forecast for your destination? It might be reporting clear skies right now, but the TAF might show thunderstorms building in 2 hours, right when you plan to be there? The examiner is looking for a pilot who understands that 91.103 is not a box to check. It is a mindset. The regulation is essentially saying, do not be surprised. Do your homework. Now, let me break down what all available information actually looks like in practice for a cross-country flight. Start with weather. You want the current METARs for your departure, your destination, and your alternate if you have one. You want the TAFs for the same airports. You want the area forecast or the graphical forecast for aviation. You want the winds and temperatures aloft so you know what your ground speed will be and whether you will be fighting a headwind. You want any AR METs or SIG METs along your route, and you want pilot reports, PIA reps, because those tell you what the forecast got wrong. Next, NOTAMs, notices to air missions. Check them for your departure airport, your destination, every airport along your route you might need as an alternate, and any navigational aids you plan to use. A VOR out of service 20 miles off your route might not matter, but the one you plan to use as your primary navigation fix absolutely matters. Fuel requirements. For VFR flight, Regulation 91.151 requires enough fuel to fly to your first point of intended landing, and after that, enough to fly for 30 minutes during the day or 45 minutes at night at normal cruise speed. But 91.103 is asking you something bigger. It is asking whether you actually sat down and calculated your fuel burn at your planned power setting, applied the forecast winds, added a reserve, and confirmed that the numbers work, not in your head. On paper or on a tablet, Show the math. Then there is the airplane itself. The regulation does not spell this out directly under 103, but becoming familiar with all available information concerning that flight absolutely includes the status of your aircraft. Are the inspections current? The annual? The transponder check? Is there an airworthiness directive you need to comply with? Is the aircraft logbook showing something deferred under a minimum equipment list? For most of us flying Part 91 General Aviation, we do not have a formal MEAL, so if something is broken, you are back to 91.213, which we have talked about before. Here is where students get tripped up on the oral exam. The examiner might ask you, what does 91.103 require? And you say, oh, I have to check the weather and the NOTAMs. And the examiner says, what else? And you freeze because you forgot about fuel requirements. You forgot about alternatives. You forgot that the regulation specifically mentions known traffic delays. And you definitely forgot about runway lengths. That is right. The regulation also says for takeoff and landing, the following runway lengths at the airports of intended use. Now, it does not come right out and say you need to calculate takeoff and landing distance for every flight. But it does say you need to consider the runway lengths at the airports you plan to use. And for the airman certification standards, the examiner absolutely expects you to be able to calculate takeoff and landing distances using the performance charts in your airplane's pilot operating handbook. That means factoring in temperature, pressure, altitude, wind, runway surface, and weight. Picture this. You are planning a flight to a small airport with a 3,000-foot runway. Your Cessna 172 can handle that easily at sea level on a cool day. But today, it is July. The airport elevation is 4,000 feet. The temperature is 35 degrees Celsius. You pull out the takeoff distance chart, and suddenly you need 2,400 feet to clear a 50-foot obstacle. That 3,000-foot runway still works, but the margin just got a lot thinner. And if there are trees at the departure end, you need to know that before you go, not after you're staring at them on the takeoff roll. Here is a practical tip that will serve you well, not just on the check ride, but for every flight you ever make. Build yourself a pre-flight information checklist, not the walk around. I mean the planning checklist, the one you go through before you even drive to the airport. Weather, meters, TAFs, winds aloft, EIRMETs, SIGMETs, PI reps, NOTAMs for departure, destination, alternates, and en route and evades. Fuel calculation with winds applied and reserves confirmed. Takeoff and landing distance for the conditions of the day. Weight and balance for your actual load. The chart supplement entry for unfamiliar airports, TFRs along your route, and the status of your aircraft and its inspection. That sounds like a lot, and honestly it is. But here's the thing. Once you build the habit, it takes 15 minutes, maybe 20 for a longer cross-country. And those 15 minutes are the difference between a pilot who is prepared and a pilot who is hoping nothing goes wrong. One more thing about this regulation that makes it unique. 91.103 has no specific penalty listed. It does not say if you fail to check the weather, you will be fined $5,000. But here's how the FAA uses it. If something goes wrong on your flight and the investigation reveals that you did not check the NOTAMs and missed the TFR, or you did not calculate fuel and ran the tanks dry, the FAA will cite 91.103. It becomes the catch-all. The regulation that says you should have known because the information was available and you did not bother to look it up. I have seen enforcement cases where the entire violation came down to 103. A pilot flew into a temporary flight restriction. The TFR was published 12 hours before the flight. The pilot never checked. That is a textbook 103 violation, and it comes with certificate action, so think of 91.103 not as a regulation about paperwork. Think of it as the FAA telling you to be a professional, even if you're flying a rented 172 on a Saturday morning. Do the work before the flight, so the flight itself is the easy part. The bottom line is this: if you treat every flight like someone might ask you to explain every decision you made, you will never have a problem with 91.103, and you will be a safer pilot because of it. Most of today's material comes straight from Title 14 of the Code of Federal Regulations and the FAA's Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge. Chapter 17, if you want to read it yourself, more at radiohanger.com. Fly prepared. I will see you next time.